You're tuned to Focus on Campus, a weekly show which highlights faculty, staff, and students here at the University of Texas at El Paso. On this edition of Focus on Campus, we hear a story by Alfredo Corchado, which will be read by me. Later in the show, we'll hear an interview we taped with Alfredo Corchado during his book tour in 2013. He doesn't remember the day, but has never forgotten the time, nor the place he was when he imagined the future. Juan Pablo Corchado had arrived as a bracero worker in 1957 with dreams that went beyond the rural town where he was born, in a state shaped like a heart, Durango, or the border he crossed with 25 cents in his pocket. Like millions of braceros who came before and after, these guest workers went on to change the makeup of the Southwest and over time, with their legacy, just about every corner of the United States. Like them, Juan Pablo came seeking a better life. He saw it that morning as he headed north in back of a pickup truck to the cotton fields of Anthony, New Mexico. He passed by Bhutanese buildings and perked up, temporarily forgetting the humiliation he had endured hours earlier with prospective employers at a migrant camp in the Lower Valley. He had seen the buildings before and figured it was a university, he later said. But on that particular day, he needed assurance, a reminder of why he had come across the Ellis Island of the Southwest, El Paso, Ciudad Juarez, why he stood in line on many mornings to strip naked, to be sprayed with pesticides to rid him of any possible lice. He'd also open his mouth and wait for the latest would-be employer to inspect him, checking out his teeth and biceps, searching for muscles as though he was some type of trade horse. My father, Juan Pablo, was never burly nor tall, but he had a look of fierce determination that helped him survive, overcome anything. He signed papers that said he agreed to abide by international rules, even though they were written in a language he didn't understand. His was a simple goal, reinforced as he stared back at those looming Bhutanese buildings. He was surrounded by the other braceros, some of them childhood friends, riding the same adventure. He was 21. "If I ever have children," he remembers telling one of them, "I want them to go to school here. That's why I make the sacrifice, for those who come after me." Every diploma begins with a vision, some born along that road north. As UTEP celebrates its centennial, my father's vision is just one of thousands of parents who came before and after him. Their testimonies resonate among many of the 107,000 graduates in those 100 years, many of them the first in their families to attend a university. An estimated 78% of those graduates are Hispanic. Their stories form the backbone of how and why our development as a community parallels that of the university. We came of age together. Our destinies are interwoven into one. This year's fall enrollment for the first time surpassed 23,000. These are the faces of UTEP, students weaving together the hopes and dreams of immigrants who came before them, for their younger siblings, for their own children, for their past, and for their future. This resilient spirit is the light that guides our future along our border. The accomplishments were underscored when UTEP's overall ranking was announced over the summer in Washington Monthly's annual list of top colleges and universities across the country. UTEP was ranked 7th in the nation, just behind Stanford and ahead of Harvard. The magazine's rankings didn't reflect traditional admission standards, but focus more on efforts to offer educational opportunities to low-income students, research accomplishments, and service to graduates. UTEP has chosen to follow a different path, and so has Washington Monthly, said UTEP President Diana Natalicio, who also comes from a working-class family in the state of Missouri. What is the impact of a university on its region and on this nation? By that measure, by that set of criteria, UTEP zooms to the top. I remember the day my father told me the story about UTEP, which at the time was known as Texas Western College. I was a high school dropout, and my parents looked for any possible way to motivate me to go back to school. As the eldest of nine, I had the responsibility to set the example for the younger ones. I, along with three of my younger brothers, had crossed the Rio Grande from Mexico in 1966 to join our parents as they followed the crops in the world's biggest agricultural region, California's San Joaquin Valley. Dropping out meant the end of the dream of my parents, who had elementary school educations. So what did I know about the value of an education? I was determined not to set foot in any school again. What for, I asked. The place where I grew up was filled with Hispanics, some with high school diplomas, but the vast majority were school dropouts working in the fields. Plus, I felt I had enough education as a high school freshman to navigate the future. I had even learned English with the help of Michael Jackson's tune, Ben, a touching tune I later discovered had been dedicated to a rat. My mother responded by making an enticing offer. She would pay for the first 3 monthly car payments of any car I wanted, if and only if I agreed to do 3 things. Leave California for El Paso, where we had family members. Every year we visited them, and my mother noticed that some Hispanics even wore ties. 2, she wanted me to return to school, and 3, wanted me to promise not to marry until I obtained that college diploma. In the end, I picked a white Camaro with a T-top and headed east on I-10. Yet, looking back, it was my father's story about those Bhutanese buildings and his vision for higher education that inspired me to really dream and imagine the possibilities that were denied to my parents. Possibilities that now laid before us in a generous and tolerant community with a bright star on the mountain. One of the first things I did when I moved to El Paso was drive in my new car on a fall evening to the top of the mountain right next to Sun Bowl Stadium. I could see my father heading north in a pickup truck to pick cotton and felt lucky for the opportunity before me. This wasn't just about me. I began my higher education first at El Paso Community College to complete my basic courses. The experience was crucial and fundamental in helping me form the basis of what would become my career, journalism. After EPCC, I transferred to UTEP, which I attended with the help of a Pell Grant. For a want-to-be journalist, the experience of working in an international laboratory was key. I attended school during the day and then crossed into Ciudad Juarez to cover what to me felt like a social movement, a people demanding democracy, a people moving in mass to form communities. Felipe Ángeles, Lomas de Paleo, under the toughest of conditions, all across from UTEP, which from the Mexican side shines like a towering beacon of hope. I graduated first in my family, of course, in 1986 with a degree in journalism, and days later headed to the East Coast where my career began working at the Wall Street Journal in the Philadelphia Bureau. It was there that I discovered, on an even more personal level, the importance of having graduated from UTEP. I wasn't adjusting well to the East Coast and soon found myself emulating my new colleagues, some of them graduates of Ivy League schools. I wanted to talk, dress, and act like them. Survival meant cutting my links to the past. One day, my boss sat down with me and explained that he had recruited me not because I was some charming genius, but because I was a product of the border, a graduate of UTEP, and that education gave me a perspective unlike others. My education could help bridge the gap of understanding in a country undergoing rapid demographic change and facing new global challenges. That editor helped me find my voice and identity, something that has served me enormously throughout my career, especially for nearly 20 years as a correspondent and now bureau chief in Mexico City for the Dallas Morning News. As I look back, my parents' dreams have become our own. Others in my family have followed. 5 have college degrees. All except 1 attended UTEP. The second generation, my nephew, is also attending UTEP. My sister Monica returned from Carnegie Mellon University and now works as director of development for the College of Business Administration because she wants to give back. Again, our futures are intertwined. I came to UTEP to follow the dreams of my mother and father, who imagined a life better than theirs. In the process, I found my own. Yes, you can say that in many ways, my decision to attend UTEP was made even before I was born. Earlier last year, I had the opportunity to sit down with Alfredo. Here's an excerpt. You spoke to a group of high school journalists a couple of years ago and told them that this is what you thought you wanted to do. At first, you didn't want to leave Mexico when your family came over here from Mexico. The fact is that you had a mentor, and that is a good friend of mine, Ray Chavez, who told you you were good and that if you wanted to pursue what you wanted to do, you needed to do it or, you know, either...
Or move on.
Yeah, or move on. And he said it in different words, of course, and you took his advice.
Right. I was a student here at UTEP, and my goal at the time was to be the editor at the Prospector. And they had just notified me that I would be the editor that summer, and then there was a good chance that I could become editor during the fall. So I thought, you know, I had achieved my dream. Talked to Ray, and Ray totally disagreed. And next day, we are in Tucson. He takes me on a trip to Tucson, the National Association of Hispanic Journalists Convention, and that just opened doors. But it really took someone. I think for me as a high school dropout, coming from California, coming from the fields, you need someone to believe in you. And Ray certainly believed in me, and he saw things that I didn't see at the time.
There are a lot of people like yourself who have dropped out. And they come from single parent families, and they don't have a mentor. What advice would you give them?
Well, you know, in my case, and I say this in the book, I dropped out as a freshman in high school, and I had teachers who would come, you know, every day. I mean, I had two teachers who were that concerned, who would show up at my mother's house. They didn't speak the English, and they would come there and they would say, your son's not going to school. When my mother finally understood what was going on, she was devastated. I mean, I'm the oldest of nine. We came from Mexico with the hope. My mother's vision was that I'm going to sacrifice everything I know. I'm going to sacrifice my love for my country so that you can have an education, so you can set the example for the others. And I failed her. So my mother's very, very creative and very persuasive. She knew my weakness was a Camaro, a white Camaro. And when she knew that that's what I wanted, you know, in my life, she said, look, here's the deal. Do three things. Don't get married. Leave the fields of California and go to El Paso and get an education. She liked El Paso because in her mind, El Paso was a place where Hispanics wore ties. And there weren't that many abundant fields around. So she thought I needed a whole change of scenery. But I can tell you, I came to El Paso, and really what turned it around was El Paso Community College. It was like my big opportunity. I mean, and from that moment on, I mean, it's always been about mentors, people who believe in you. I remember I came to community college, and I really wanted to be, I thought, a hairdresser. Because I love Warren Beatty in the movie Shampoo, you know. And this guy said, look, I think you have something else. You think about maybe being a foreign diplomat or maybe even a foreign correspondent. When he said that, that was like bingo. Because, as you said, I mean, ever since I was a kid, my dream was to try to go back to Mexico, to reconnect with my roots, my culture, my language. And the idea that someone would pay me to live in Mexico was just, you know, out of this world. And that's really how my career began in El Paso. But at community college, it was a tumultuous time in Ciudad Juarez, a lot of change. So it was working for the Conquistador, working for the Prospector, did a little bit of stuff at KDBC, at KXCR, and eventually at the El Paso Herald Post. And in the book, I say, you know, El Paso Herald Post, I blame them because they infected me with the disease called journalism. And that's, so, you know, for anyone, any young person going through these challenges, I mean, I think the important thing is when you have family that believes in you and you have a teacher or someone in education who you can trust as your mentor.
And the bottom line is someone who believes in you, and as a person, you and I, who work with words, we know that words can be very powerful. And if you have someone who's constantly telling you you're an idiot, you're never going to amount to much, because you come from the other side of the tracks, and someone doesn't believe in you, those can stay with you, those wounds.
Absolutely. I mean, I remember as a kid, one reason why I dropped out of high school is because, I mean, as a younger kid, you saw that every Hispanic, you know, in the San Joaquin Valley, not every Hispanic, but just about every Hispanic would end up back in the fields. And there was a sense that you wouldn't not amount to anything else but the fields. You didn't hear anything of encouragement. I mean, you really did feel like this is the limits to my life. And again, you know, I keep stressing the word, but you have to have, it's critical that you have a mentor, someone who's going to challenge you and say, you know what, I see more in you than maybe you see in yourself. Ray Chavez, wherever Ray Chavez is, I mean, you know, mis respetos, my respect for the guy. I still think of those times, and I get goosebumps, you know, anytime I walk here into the Sam Donaldson Center. I still kind of think maybe Ray's around the corner somewhere.
That was an excerpt from a conversation I had with Alfredo Corchado earlier in 2013 with the release of his book Midnight in Mexico. Focus on Campus is taped and produced at the KTP Studios, University of Texas at El Paso Communication Building. Our thanks to our engineer and producer, Dennis Wu. You've been tuned to Focus on Campus. I'm Luis Sainz.